Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce a company called Onica, a biotechnology startup which has recently introduced their flagship product, a genetically modified probiotic spore that can be, as we read here, misted onto dry goods or added to liquid products. And these GMO spores are tagged with a digital ID that you can trace back using blockchain or any other technology to whatever you want. So we're now, this is a method of providing a unique ID to anything, any piece of, as you can see here, any apple, any piece of food, or really anything across any supply chain, so that we can integrate that with our AI plus blockchain supply chain that we're creating in our fourth industrial revolution here. So the bottom line about this technology that I want to share with you, and we'll hear from one of their founders here in a second, is that they make the case that this is, of course, edible and tasteless, and they claim safe. And that really underscores the fact that these guys are creating a GMO microbe barcode that they intend to implant in any food product before it goes off into the shipping for grocery stores, then into your stomach, and ultimately into the smart sewers. They'll be able to track these products in your gut even, using these GMO spores that survive all of those processes. So let's talk about that tonight. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast.
Can we hear a little bit about how Onica is changing the security of the supply chains as the world becomes more and more global?
Sure. Michelle? So sort of on a high level, what we do is we use microbes as tracking devices. So what we do is we convert data, digital data, into strands of DNA. We insert that little bit of DNA into a microorganism, a probiotic microorganism, to be honest. And then we can sort of apply that organism and sort of have it hitch a ride on any food or agricultural product or really anything through the supply chain. And what the reason we use a microbe to do it is because we engineer it to go into a spore. So a dormant state that allows it to be impervious to high temperatures and UV light, sort of protect that DNA barcode through transit. And so why this is important is because you can spray romaine lettuce, for example, and you can mix it around and wash it and treat it, microwave it. You can have it decay for a month, and we can still re-identify sort of each leaf back to its origin.
And you mentioned that it's a probiotic, and you used lettuce as your example. So is this something that you imagine is going to be mostly used in food supply chains? I could see that being extraordinarily useful, but perhaps you can even branch out into non-edible things.
Yeah, so we've worked with De Beers on diamonds. We've gotten inquiries about tagging explosives. To be honest, picture a big mining company whose explosives end up in a civil war. We've heard everything, both organic and non-organic, in terms of applications. We're just focusing this year particularly on romaine lettuce because of customer demand. But the applications are actually just really endless in terms of how you could apply this to a number of different things.
Now, before we go any further, I want to point out this talk that we're watching is part of a demonstration day hosted by SOSV, a venture capital firm who invests quite a bit into, as we can see from their portfolio companies here, replacement agriculture, cell cultured meats, and other synthetic foods. Just taking a quick look here, Memphis Meats is obviously one of the popularly consumed fake meat burgers out there. We're developing a way to produce real meat without the need for animals. So meat without the animals. They have Finless Food is another portfolio company that SOSV has funded. Delicious seafood without the catch, without the fish, right? So meat without animals, fish without fish. Hill's Geltor is another one. We make gelatin without the animal. And I also wanted to note, we create things that are critical to the post-animal economy. So SOSV portfolio companies are openly working on constructing a post-animal economy. Even as the media today is running point for Joe Biden saying, no, he doesn't want to take away your cows. Meanwhile, billionaires and venture capitalists are all, and startup companies are all funding and working on projects to create and a world without animal agriculture, right? We've talked about that a lot. Natco in Chile is another company that SOSV has funded in combination with Biz Stone, one of the Twitter co-founders, and Jeff Bezos. So again, these billionaires are all in on creating meat from animal cells instead of animal slaughter. This is New Age Meats, yet another portfolio company. But the one, and then actually just briefly, Novo Nutrients creates food from waste carbon dioxide, turning it into protein for aquaculture. And of course, Sugar Logics, recreating the best kept secret in human breast milk, because even breast milk is dirty and antiquated in the post-animal economy. But as a matter of fact, another of their portfolio companies is a human tissue printing and pharmaceutical development company, just like the World Economic Forum promises us. You'll own nothing but be happy anyway by the year 2030, and we'll be 3D printing human tissues. Yeah, SOSV is working on that part of it as well. But it is Anika that really ties together this entire portfolio, tracking and tracing all goods across the supply chain. Let's go back to this founder, because he's about to tell us how they can apply this technology to fresh foods without getting the EPA involved.
In the lettuce, for example, it's actually post-harvest and it's mixed with the wash water. So it's actually not touching in the field.
I see.
There's one reason the EPA is not involved. And that's basically the case. A lot of it is, it doesn't really need to be at the field, but just post-harvest or post, you know, whatever that system is, post-mining or whatever it is. So that's usually how it's added in.
Can you use these to verify that these products have been ethically sourced? I imagine it depends on who you're customer is, but
we've actually so in cacao and coffee, this is a big issue, especially in Europe and the United States, where like ethical sourcing is legislated pretty much. So we've done things like this is one of the coolest demos, which was we took coffee beans, roasted them, like brewed cups of coffee, and then like traced them back to the origin to show that these were ethically sourced cups of coffee and these weren't. So in coffee in particular, I think there's like 22 different certifications that they need. And you can embed those, so to speak, in these tags, you know, the authenticity.
When you did the coffee experiment, did you tag the beans before you roasted them?
Before we roasted.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
What's amazing is that the spores are just in the spores that we use are just, they cling to organic matter really well, I mean, especially grasses. That's why they're really good in things like leafy greens. And that's just a property of this. And so one of the things that actually, to go back to the earlier question, Julie, was I remember sitting in that class and someone started talking about spores, or at GenSpace, someone was complaining about spores actually, and about how hardy they were and how like they're such a pain to get rid of. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Cause I was like, that would be the perfect way to protect any sort of tag.
Mm-hmm. How can you flip
and
that?
So I was just like, oh, how interesting.
So now we start to get a sense of why this is such a big deal. To tag a bean when it's harvested that then gets roasted and then gets made into a cup of coffee and then take that cup of coffee and be able to trace it back to the field it came from. It's a pretty stunning set of processes for a tag to be able to, for a barcode, right, to be able to survive. So the next question, what happens if you eat it?
Just quickly, have you sent spores through the digestive systems of any animals?
That is a great question. And that's a really good, that's a big area of interest that we're currently working on. And I don't know if I can say more about it, but there's a huge need for that. Because if you think about linking, just in a contamination, you go in, you're sick, linking the sample, the human sample to the actual outbreak and the location would basically truncate the time of a recall investigation from like 3 months to like an hour.
Yep. So, cool.
Yeah. So ongoing, stay tuned. Is that the message there, Vishal?
It's like so raw that I don't know what I can say. The bigger prediction is on GMOs. So I think that the world is going to have to sort of change its stance on genetically modified organisms because of climate change. And I think it would shift it so anti-GMO sort of illogically because of things like Monsanto and sort of miscommunication around that. And now I think it's going to, and you're already seeing it with things like the Impossible Burger. Like I think consumers are now starting to put kind of ESG and environmental friendliness and climate change above just a blanket, we don't like GMOs. And I think that's going to be a major tailwind for, you know, our whole industry and our sector and specifically our business. But I think that, especially over the next, I think this will happen in the next 5 years or 10 years. But I think if, you know, we're going to protect our crops and really like take on climate change head on, And obviously people's stances on climate change vary, but I won't get into that. But like, the way to do it is through GMOs. And I think that as a technology is just going to be, again, inevitable and something that everyone's going to have to embrace. And I think it's going to happen over the next decade.
Yeah, so he kind of flubbed the non-answer to whether or not they were doing animal testing of these GMO spore barcodes. But don't worry, if something happens on stage, just yell climate change and run. And that's exactly what he did. We're going to have to change our stance on GMOs because of global warming. Just the appeal to that one carte blanche for all the mad scientist experiments from the David Keith geoengineering at Scopex at Harvard to edible spores that track food from the lettuce in the washroom, so the EPA isn't involved. You see how devious they are? It's not even it's not even conceived as a, we're from the government, we're here to help. It's, here's how we got around the regulators so we could get these GMO spores in your body and track everything you do. Because that's what we're doing, is building a perfect surveillance state for the post-human and openly post-animal economy. I just want to leave it there for tonight with a quick video about getting this glimpse into these conversations, these highly funded conversations that are going on, and these technologies that are being developed and tested right now. There is, as you heard, they're basically indestructible GMO spores that are digitally tagged with whatever arbitrary DNA they need to be to track things through a supply chain or anything else. And this is just one of the companies that's working on that. There are others, like we've heard about Phylogen, who is using the microbiome on microscopic dust. So you could say, without even tagging things with GMO crazy spores, you can just say, look, this piece of lettuce happens to have the exact same profile of, you know, yeasts and micro other things that are in the microbiome as happens to be in Nevada. We just happen to know in our database that this leaf came from Nevada because it looks like everything else. It's got the same dust on it. So, and that's a World Economic Forum portfolio company. So this is a set. It's not even just one company that's out there doing it. It's a set of companies all working. There's the fingerprint to let you know that they're all working on being able to, as is the goal of Agenda 2030, completely track and trace all resources and economic activity across planet Earth. It's not some boilerplate text. It's not a mission statement. It is an agenda, and they are executing it on it now. And we need to know about that. And we need to be growing our own foods and raising animals outside of this now tainted supply chain. So let's get back to that. Thanks for watching, folks. If you like this report, you can find it and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you like this broadcast and value this information, you can help me keep the broadcast running. There's a few ways to do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. For now, thanks for watching, spread the word, and be well.